El futuro tiene nada más que la confrontación.
Hey, welcome to Unpopular Opinion. I'm your host, Adam Todd Brown. I used to write a weekly column for a fucking internet website, and I would use that column to put forth all sorts of crazy opinions. Then I'd come on this show to defend those opinions. But now, I don't do a goddamn thing. Joining me today, you maybe heard us hit the goddamn harmonies on a Jefferson Starship song on an episode of Listcast. She's also a fantastic comic and a member of the horror comedy sketch team, Night Church. Check that shit out sometime. Ladies and gentlemen, making her first appearance on the show, Eve Esquire. Also joining me, he used to be my co-worker at crack.com. We used to co-host a podcast called Your State is Insane, and now we're just the best of goddamn friends, ladies and gentlemen. Love this dude so much. Always happy to have him here. Making his millionth appearance on the show, Alex Schmidt. It's going to be a great show. Hey, everybody. Welcome to Unpopular Opinion. I'm your host, Adam Todd Brown. I don't have a co-host with me today, but I got a room full of guests, and that is just as good, arguably better.
Ooh.
Because a room full of guests, it's just not a co-host. Like, it's a whole different dynamic. It's just bad. I feel more in control than with someone else I have to, like, tend to. It's just more, it's like having a houseplant, a co-host, right?
Yeah. A succulent.
Yeah. Yeah.
Don't even need to water it.
Well,
we're the succulents.
Yeah. Yeah, you're the succulents. Like a co-host is like
a fragile orchid or something.
Yeah, it's something you got to tend to, and it's a fucking tomato plant.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You need it to produce. You got to take care of it to make it produce. It's a solid analogy. Hey, speaking of that room full of guests, first-time guest Eve Esquire is here.
Hello, everybody.
First time on this podcast. We were on an episode of Listcast together. We did a banging rendition of a Jefferson Starship classic, 80s classic.
Nothing's going to stop us now.
Nothing did stop us.
No.
We got through that entire chorus.
We began singing. We're like, is this happening? We're like, we're going to let it happen.
We really fucking went for it. I think I released it just as a clip all the world to hear.
You're welcome, yeah. World.
Yeah, you are very welcome. Speaking of the world, tell them a little about yourself.
Hey, everybody, I'm Eve Esquire. I've been here for 20 years, and I've still not made it!
Woo!
Yeah!
Here in L.A. or here at the studio?
Both!
Both?
Both!
Woo! Spooky! It is almost Halloween. True. Almost the Halloween. Tomorrow is the Halloween.
The Halloweens. Today is All Hallows Eve Eve.
All Hallows Eve Eve.
Eve, because tomorrow's
featuring
All Hallows Eve.
Eve. Eve. Nice.
Yeah.
Also here, who are you?
My name's Alex Schmidt. It's great to be here.
You've been on this podcast before.
I believe so, yeah.
I've been on your podcast.
Hell yeah, dude.
We used to work together.
Hell yeah.
We got so much history. We just told a sad story about maybe never meeting. That's for the outtakes. They'll hear that someday.
That was a butterfly effect story.
It really was. The ripple effects of my strong decision-making that day.
Here's another universe where I'm here with somebody else.
Exactly.
Yeah, I swear, like, a few days ago, I was introducing someone to alternate history as a concept, like the South wins the Civil War and so on, and I got a similar vibe from you and me not meeting. That's brutal.
Yeah, I'm an alternate history guy. I like
it.
Cool.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You're a man of the high castle and all that.
Part. Like the South winning. Oh, yeah. That'd be great.
Right. Right. Only worst outcomes.
If only. I normally cut someone off at the beginning of the podcast.
Yeah. I was surprised you didn't do that.
Whole bit. Well, the problem is I just complained about the dog laying on my headphone cable. She's also laying on the cable that I would normally plug into what I use as a soundboard.
Oh, I see.
So she's causing all sorts of problems. That's what she does. So I guess I won't cut anyone off. Disappointing.
Yeah. Wait, ask me how I'm doing.
Alex, how's it going?
Well, I'm... There we go.
You know, the hardest...
That counts. We did it.
So we should probably just get right to what we're talking about today, right?
Oh, yeah.
What is that?
We're talking about rich people.
Oh.
Right?
Yeah.
We're specifically, I mean, not specifically, we're not going to spend the entire episode talking about Ellen DeGeneres, but her name's hot right now, and not hot in a good way. It has been a Vanilla Ice-esque fall from grace for Ellen DeGeneres, in that right.
She didn't even get to sleep with Madonna.
She didn't get to sleep with Madonna. She didn't get to dance with the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, although she's almost certainly danced with the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
That must have happened.
It has to. She's danced with everybody. It's obnoxious.
Yeah. It's a requirement.
Everybody rich.
Yeah. Yeah. All the rich people. She's danced with all the Bushes. And
it's her version of like when you try to go through customs, but like for going on her show, like you must dance instead of presenting a passport.
It's like a Soul Train line. Now I kind of want to go on Ellen.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's the only reason why I want to go on Ellen.
It's right down the street.
Is it?
Yeah. She tapes up here in Burbank.
Oh, yeah. I know a couple people who work for the show, so I know she's somewhere close. Yeah.
I know her assistant.
Oh, let's name everyone.
I can't
remember first and last name and dish on any stories about Ellen they've told us.
I just know his partner makes really good dessert.
Oh, because I was just going to say the girl I know who works there has a bitchin' Ellen sweatshirt that I would like to own. It's a hoodie. It's nice.
That sounds good.
But she's been in the news lately for a couple things. One, she got all buddy-buddy with George W. Bush. It was at a football game, right? A Cowboys game, I think.
Yeah, they got like flown there by ownership.
And she was like, oh, well, sometimes you're friends with people who have beliefs that are different than yours. And everyone was like, no, he's a war criminal. That's the problem.
Yeah. Well, she also said all the criticism of her was just people on Twitter being mad because that's what people on Twitter do, which is really a hand waving of, you know, like thoughts and ideas.
That's one way to put it. But also where else are people going these days to express their opinions?
Right.
Like that's where else do you want to see it?
Yeah.
You want people to write it on fucking bathroom walls, put it on Facebook? No one's on Facebook anymore.
Of course, my hometown is.
What's your hometown?
Mountain Home, Idaho. Named so because you can see mountains from your homes.
Oh, most homes near mountains, you can see those mountains from the home.
Oh, I know. There's no irony in Idaho, so that didn't register.
So Ellen DeGeneres, her being friends with George Bush, that's Illuminati shit. And I don't care for it whatsoever.
What?
And when it's mainly the way she doubled down on it and hand waved anybody criticizing it. Like just if she sat next to him at a game and then handled it good, I think it would be different. But she truly handled it poorly and has continued to not handle it well.
You disagree?
Hard disagree. Number one, she's a lesbian at a football game, not just any football game, a Texas football game. If I'm a lesbian in a Texas football game, I am seeking out a former president who's from Texas. And I'm like, I don't feel safe. Can I just hang out here with you for a while? Also, in the whole scheme of war criminal, like George Bush was like a Barker's beauty to me of the whole presidency. He was more like a spokesmodel.
Oh,
I look at George Bush, I'm like, oh, you poor thing. I look at Dick Cheney, I'm like, you're a fucking dick. You are totally a war criminal. You have done evil things.
Yeah.
I look at Bush, I'm like,
I strongly disagree because George Bush was the president. And when the vice president came to him and was like, hey, what about we wreck the Middle East for decades? George Bush could have been like, no, but he was like, yeah, I don't give a shit. Do whatever you want. If Dick Cheney was like, hey, I want to murder the person in your living room. And George Bush was like, yeah, that's fine. Do whatever you want. They both go to prison for that. They absolutely both go to prison for that.
I don't know. Reagan led a kind of a...
Yeah, send Reagan to fucking, like, dig him up and fucking put him in Guantanamo.
Did you guys see the fires are approaching Reagan's library?
Good, good,
that's
good.
That's something going on.
Burn it to the ground.
Yeah.
But also, if I get a chance to be part of the Illuminati, I'm not taking it. I'm not taking that chance.
I mean, that's a separate discussion.
It is.
I'm obviously going to join the Illuminati, but I'm still going to shade George W. Bush at our functions.
That's fine.
That's also, if the Illuminati take a George W. Bush membership referral seriously, I don't think they're very good at what they do. Like, you got to go through somebody else. Yeah.
Yeah.
There's much better people.
I'm already, even though I said it's Illuminati shit, just through doing a conspiracy podcast, like, it's really sending me in the opposite direction you'd expect a conspiracy podcast to take a person. Because, like, in terms of the Illuminati, I'm like, I think that's just, like, government propaganda. Like, the government wants really paranoid people to be like, yeah, man, it's the Illuminati and there's nothing we can do about it. Meanwhile, the government's like, we could do something about it.
Yeah.
Don't you? Like, we could certainly do something about it. But if you think we can't, that's fine.
No, I believe
it's the Illuminati. But also, Jay-Z is in the Illuminati. So,
totally.
Like, the symbols are there.
The baby. The baby's there.
The baby. Did they?
Blue Ivy, which stands for four. Ivy.
How does it come on? That's a
thing? Yes. Oh, man. That was a thing.
Wow.
It maybe if they spelled it IV, but they spelled
they
it
can't
like.
Make it too
maybe
obvious.
Maybe it's a Wrigley Field reference.
I don't. Okay. Like, the World Series is going on. I don't know who's playing. I know Houston is. The Astros?
Astros, yeah.
And then, Eve said ass. That was sweet. But yeah. So the Ellen DeGeneres thing and George Bush, people are up in arms about it.
Yeah.
I agree. I would join the Illuminati. I disagree that George Bush isn't a total fucking war criminal. But here's the thing. What president isn't?
True. Like, even Obama is.
Even if not a war criminal, like every president we've had in recent history presided over some really unfortunate shit.
Even not so recent history.
Yeah.
Which actually, it's only been like, what, 250 years? So it's like pretty much
all of history. All of our history is recent history, basically. But the most recent Ellen controversy I saw, and this isn't quite as widespread as the George W. Bush thing, but I saw it on Twitter, and I've seen a bunch of references to it. I saw a bunch of people retweeting it. And basically, people are up in arms because Ellen collects vintage Rolexes.
Good.
There is the tweet that made the rounds most recently. It's from a user named Rafael Shimanov, RAFAELSHIMUNOV. He is verified, y'all. Must be nice. Just joking. And it's only got like 1,000 retweets, something like that. It's got respectable numbers. And it says, meanwhile, in Los Angeles. And it's got three headlines about Ellen buying vintage Rolex watches and then a picture of Skid Row. And if you read the comments, the implication seems to be, hey, why is Ellen buying vintage Rolexes when people in L.A. are homeless?
Right.
Which I get it, but also no. That's not really.
This is, to me, small town thinking, because like so many people from my hometown, because I follow like a lot of message boards on Facebook groups from my hometown to say like, is it safe for me to go? No. Again, I'm not laughing about Idaho being tried as a witch. Like,
yeah.
Like just so many reasons. But like anytime anybody's kind of rich, they always do the same thing. Either they elect them governor.
Yeah.
Or it's like, why aren't they giving us money? They have enough. We have nothing. It's like, I'm a big believer in Wallace Wattles. He wrote the Science of Getting Rich. He was a Unitarian at the turn of the century. And he said, the purpose to get rich is to help your community. You create jobs. You stimulate that. That's how you do that. Ellen has a full-on... She has a full-on like economy going on just with her show and her other projects. She's doing her part.
Well, also, one quick thing with that tweet. I think I'm glad you said who it is, because that guy, Rafael Shimanov, I think he's the guy who either did or promoted the video edit of Ellen explaining her Bush thing while there were pictures of Bush's war crimes behind her. I think he's kind of on like the Ellen beat now. So
it feels like it, yeah.
That's a very specific thing to be doing, but that's probably why he's like picking this Rolex thing at all, because it seems like there's lots of celebrities you could do this with.
Almost every celebrity.
Yeah, she's like substantially richer than a lot of celebrities. She's in a different level, you know, but it's still an issue, yeah, for a lot of them.
There's a whole lot of issues with it. For one thing, does she pay taxes? Because if so, I don't give a fuck.
Exactly.
Like, she's paying in. Like, if she's paying taxes.
She's doing more than other millionaires at her level if she's paying taxes.
Yeah, there are. We'll talk about the article more in detail in a minute, but there's like 60 U.S. corporations in 2018 that paid zero income tax, including Amazon.
And one of them including basically a big pharma.
Yeah.
Eli Lilly.
Meanwhile, I got a $54,000 tax bill recently. Granted, it's for a few years, but there should not be a single year where I pay more taxes than Amazon.
Yeah.
That's nuts. That is fucking insane. So if Ellen is paying tax on her money, even if it's not as much as she should, I don't fucking care. Like, yeah. I don't care what she spends. Like, once you have that money, you kind of need to spend it. Otherwise, it's just all going to go to taxes.
Yeah.
And to a point, I get that you don't want to, like, the thing about vintage Rolex is that's an investment.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if I was her kid, I would be psyched for the day she dies and I get all those Rolexes.
Well, I'm psyched for her dogs because that's probably who's going to inherit it.
Oh, yeah. Does she have kids?
No.
I don't know.
Oh, well, maybe Portia de Rossi will kill her for those Rolexes there someday. You go. And that will be a fascinating story that we will all benefit from greatly.
Yeah. And then we see the Lifetime movie telling the events. Ooh. We all win.
And somehow they have the double denim on denim outfit that's highlighted.
Hell yeah.
That never actually happened, but it's a manufactured memory now.
Canadian tuxedo?
Yes.
She was wearing one?
I know, but we're going to make that happen.
Oh, I'm into that. I mean, Kanye looks all right in one. And the thing about this notion, like even taking it beyond Ellen, just the idea that, oh, well, you have all this money, you could just like fix homelessness in your town with all the money you have. Why don't you do it? Like when you hear that from people on the left, where a lot of the Ellen hate is coming from right now, including in the comments, people saying eat the rich over and over and over. We get it. But also, do you understand how conservative and right wing that line of thinking is?
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh yeah, we don't need the government to fix our social problems. Ellen will fix homelessness through charity. Fuck you. Make Reagan fix it. Again, dig him up and make him fix what he caused. Yeah. The homelessness problem in Los Angeles can be traced back to deinstitutionalization in California under Governor Reagan.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I get it, but also fuck off thinking Ellen is responsible for fixing that shit. Maybe the government can fix the way taxes are applied to people who make that much money and use that money to then fix the homelessness problem. But that's the government's fucking fish to fry. That is not Ellen's job. It's not goddamn Bill Gates' job. It's not any rich person's job until the government addresses that shit.
It's fascinating that you mention Reagan as governor. I recently watched this documentary on the Cockettes, which was a drag troupe up in San Francisco. Sylvester, you know, You Make Me Feel Mighty Real came out from there. Divine was part of them for a while. A lot of them made their money because they got subsidy from the government, California government, because they were ineligible to work. We're talking people who were trans, gay, and had just like mental difficulties having a normal job. So basically the government's like, hey, we're going to pay you not to be in society. And they're like, great, we're going to do that. We're going to create this art. And it's like that worked for a long time until Reagan, a former actor himself, was like, nope, we're not going to let this go anymore. So then nobody got money. People were going crazy. People couldn't get their meds. And then you have this like huge surge of homelessness. You're very, very connected.
Right.
Yeah. I'm also realizing I know very little about drag culture or Idaho. This is all fascinating. I'm very excited.
And again, in the comments, someone says the government's currently owned by those people. That is the government's fault. Any rich person allowed to have that much access to the government is going to take that much access to the government. That right. is not something you can expect rich people to police and be like, oh, well, I have all this money and power and influence, but I'm not going to fucking wield it. That is the government's responsibility to not be influenced by that shit. So again, not rich people's responsibility. I'm not saying it's great that some people have as much money as they do. I don't disagree that people with a certain amount of money need to distribute it a little more evenly for the betterment of society, but they're not going to do it on their own.
Like, yeah.
No one's going to, like, they're going to have to be forced.
And fixating on Ellen or like any rich person who is a celebrity is like, it's such a dumb thing that I think people do all over the political spectrum.
Yeah.
Like most of rich society is people you haven't heard of. And then the celebrities are like substantially poorer than those people, but are famous.
Yes.
You know, it's like every we were talking about Jay-Z before, every sports ownership group is like Jay-Z owning a fraction of 1% and being famous. And then like a Russian oil guy owns the team.
Yeah.
You know, like
oligarchs like and shit.
That's what actual like wealth and celebrity is. Like those are the tiers, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And going back to Idaho again, I'm going to further educate
please,
a little bit.
Please.
Idaho. I said before the things that Idaho love to do is like vote rich white men as governor. We recently had an election last year where the lieutenant governor ran. He was a rich white businessman from the most populated county, Ada County, where Boise is. He ran against a Native American senator, a representative from Northern Idaho named Paulette Jordan. Paulette Jordan got a lot of criticisms like, oh, well, you went, she grew up on tribal land. She grew up on a reservation, but she went to school in Spokane. Now, if you've ever seen a map of Idaho, there's a panhandle that's like about 5 feet wide. And like,
right.
She grew up in a rural area and she got criticism. Well, you weren't educated in Idaho. And this is somebody who could have done so much for the rural population of a state that is mostly rural. It's a hard word. Rural juror.
Yeah,
since you've been watching 30 Rock.
Yeah, 30 Rock.
For a rural population. And they're like, oh, I guess we're going to vote for the rich white businessman so we can get her out. Now let's complain about the rich again. I'm like, and like the lieutenant governor, he's living not in the governor's mansion, but in a condo that he owns and is getting money back from that.
Nice.
Classic.
It's like,
yeah.
I don't understand poor people because like poor people love and hate rich people all at the same time.
Oh yeah, for sure. Yeah. And the guy who started this Ellen Watch thing on Twitter, he posted a follow-up tweet to people who were saying, you know, this isn't necessarily Ellen's responsibility. And it was just this website that talks about the idea of a temporarily embarrassed millionaire. Which is what people, how he would describe poor people or people who aren't rich, who are also defending Ellen. In his mind, those are people who all think they're going to be rich someday. They're all going to be millionaires someday. So they have to defend Ellen now for that inevitable day when they're going to be rich. And
well, and he also wasn't clever enough to come up with that. That's a John Steinbeck quote.
Yeah. Well, it credited John Steinbeck on the website, but it's like, I get that to a point, but we still, above anyone else, need to hold this government accountable. Like, that's where all of this shit begins. And I don't think it's unreasonable to be like maybe we'll figure out how the government's going to fix it. And if that fucking takes some money out from underneath Ellen, so be it. Like, I wouldn't be opposed to that. But, like, we're going to go for Ellen first.
Really
or
weird.
Or we're gonna like go for Elon Musk first. I mean, that might be all right.
Yeah,
but
there's a hierarchy before we get to Ellen.
Yeah, there should be an app, and we should get to vote for the top five people who get their shit taken.
Mm. Oh, okay. Yeah,
right. And I'm sure that'll all break down fairly and not along racial lines or anything.
Oh yeah, how fast would Obama?
I meant like all of America, not the three of us.
No.
Yeah, yeah. He can't. That guy who again is, I think, mostly just trying to tweet the Ellen beat now. He can't just hand wave people who are not that mad at her about the overall concept of poverty as people who are like stooges for the rich. That isn't really what's going on.
Also, I don't know if you took all of Ellen's money if it would fix the problem. In L.A.
No, there's a difference between being a billionaire, which Bill Gates is, and he is trying to do various things like create like a very super efficient toilet for impoverished areas and trying to eradicate polio in Africa and with constant failure and disruption, may add, and a $75 million. Like, he has hundreds of billions. There's no comparison.
Yeah.
Also, I will say my boyfriend's dad was a very famous comedian, was a millionaire, lived in Beverly Hills, the whole spiel.
Ooh.
Stan Freberg?
I don't know.
You will know. He wrote You Ain't Getting Nothing for Christmas and a lot of other things.
Cool. Hmm.
That may be the biggest thing that people know now. And he had a tax bill, and then he was like, oh, fuck the IRS.
Okay.
I Three am fucks. Going wow. to convince PBS to give me an hour-long special so I can say fuck you to the federal budget. This is real. Please, YouTube, Stan Freberg, federal budget review. And there's dancers, there's totals. It's like Penn & Teller's bullshit before Penn & Teller's bullshit.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah,
it is.
Yeah.
It'll blow your mind. And of course, he got audited every year after he did that.
Oh, yeah.
So
obviously.
If you want to talk about rich people taking a stand, he did, and he got crucified.
Yeah.
Which is why we live in a shitty apartment in Valley Village.
Well, and it's that kind of thing, like, I feel like nobody in this totally knows about the numbers or is, like, following it. Like even that guy, Shuminov, his tweet, the most expensive watch headline, I think, was, like,
$750,000.
Right. And, like, Adam, you found articles on just, like, Ellen's net worth and earnings mm-hmm. per year, and she's making, like, tens of millions per year. Like, she can buy these watches and do the thing he wants.
Yeah.
It's
absolutely.
Not hard.
And like, she does. Like, that same article goes through all of the things she's, like, all of the charitable yeah. causes she has donated to.
Yeah.
Like, she sometimes just on her show gives motherfuckers money.
Yeah.
And then there's like a famous story. She gave some woman like $55,000 and the IRS went after that woman for mm-hmm. taxes.
Yeah.
And it's like, go after Amazon, you fucking monsters.
Yeah. And go after people who are many, many, many times richer than her, who just you've never heard of from watching TV. Like, yeah. Like she also, think for a second, man.
She also raised $3 million for the Humane Society and St. Jude's Children's Hospital aww. By taking a selfie at the Oscars.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
go out and raise. I couldn't raise $30 by taking a selfie. Like, that's fucking impressive. Like, she does. It's not like she's fucking hoarding her money and throwing it all in the tower. She is giving some of it back. Presumably, she's paying taxes. And my question about what's happening with Ellen right now, kind of the same question. We did an episode of ListCast last night about the best pro athletes of all time. And
great, I'll be able to contribute to this conversation.
And Serena Williams won. Spoiler alert, that episode doesn't come out for a couple weeks. But Serena Williams won. Michael Phelps also made the list. Michael Jordan made the list, obviously.
Hell yeah.
Of course, he was number two. I think Deion Sanders and maybe LeBron James was fifth. I don't remember who was fifth.
Wow, Deion made it.
Yeah. Yeah, he was
Neon.
He was
Deion.
Neon.
Look at me.
See?
Sport.
Sion? And
I hope that was what Deion said when he did stuff. Like, Sion? Pretty cool, on.
I hope so, too. Sion? That was me on.
Gotta go to Deion. The bathroom to pee on.
We have fun here.
We have fun.
And Serena Williams won, right? Oh, Michael Phelps was on the list. He was number five. He's on the list. And Serena Williams won. And we had all these comments from people who are like, Serena Williams isn't even the best tennis player of all time. Also, are we just going to ignore that she cheated in 2018 by getting signs from her coaches? And it's like every fucking person on that list is a little impure.
Yeah.
Michael Phelps won all of those Olympic, all of his first Olympic medals. Michael Phelps won wearing a suit that was subsequently banned in every other Olympics.
Yeah.
Where are the comments about that? Where are the comments when you're talking about, oh, she cheated? Michael Jordan bet probably on basketball games
while
he was a basketball player. Where are the comments about that? And the reason I bring all that up is, why is Ellen's watch collection such a betrayal, but Jay Leno and Jerry Seinfeld's car collections are cool TV show ideas? Why don't they have to sell some of those cars and fix homelessness?
Like, Jerry Seinfeld has a lot of those cars in New York.
Yeah.
It's like he has garages in his brownstone. Garages. Yeah. Like, as a kid, I would watch shows about New York. I'm like, where do they park the cars? How do you keep them safe? Apparently, you have like a $5 million brownstone somewhere, and you're like, most of it's just garage to keep my fancy-ass cars in New York, where you can only drive so many miles an hour.
Yeah.
Makes perfect sense.
I would, like, if I had Jerry Seinfeld money and lived in New York, I would buy a fucking helicopter.
Yes!
Like, there's no way I'd own a car. I would have a helicopter come get me on my roof, or I would take the fucking subway, even as Jerry Seinfeld.
Yes! Yeah.
Like, what's the worst that's going to happen in New York in 2019 as Jerry Seinfeld getting on a subway? You're going to be on Instagram. Someone will be like, oh, fuck. That's it.
Yeah.
We're all too cool to care about Seinfeld anymore.
True. Yeah, I don't know why we're all, maybe it just Seinfeld made that show so nobody cares, but like car collecting is pretty bizarre. Like you have to have an entire building on land you own to even contain them. Mm-hmm. Like that's some really weird stuff to do.
Yeah.
Like, watch, also, you just put it in your closet. It's very normal.
Yeah, and also well, you have to have the watch winder that turns your watches every so often because otherwise they'll stop because a lot of Rolexes.
Okay.
Are, again,
my one piece of gear. Great.
Boyfriend was the son of a millionaire. I know a lot of shit. and also, a lot of those cars need to be temperature controlled because, like, he's not collecting Corollas, okay? Like, he's collecting, like, Jepson Interceptors or something like that. It's, like, fancy-ass cars are made out of fiberglass.
Yeah, their car collection is decreasing the housing supply.
Yes.
Like, are you kidding me?
Yeah. But that's fine. Like, I don't fucking understand it.
Yeah.
And, like... The thing about her being friends with George W. Bush, it's like he's got a lot of friends, you know? And it becomes a problem when you see things like what happened at the CNN Democratic debate a couple weeks ago, where after 2.5 hours of not asking about climate change, not asking about campaign finance reform, they closed the debate by asking everyone, inspired by what happened with Ellen and George W. Bush, tell us about a friendship of yours that would surprise people. Fuck off. Tell me you have no friends and want nothing more than to fix all the problems in this country. That's who I want. I don't care who the fuck you're friends with.
You want the nerd.
Yeah. Like, I don't, at the end of the day, who fucking cares who Ellen's friends with? It's not going to undo the damage in the Middle East. If she unfriends George W. Bush?
Yeah, she's handled it in a shitty way and deserves lots of criticism. And also, like, this is just a product of the larger problem that we haven't had, like, a Bush war crimes trial. So, like, this kind of thing will just keep popping up anytime he's in society and people don't shun him. Like,
right.
It's just if you're mad this is all happening out there in the world, like, this is a product of much bigger things. Like,
yeah.
Can we take care of the current president first? Like,
can we take it by
level of importance again?
Well, speaking of him, that brings up another thing that wasn't brought up in that debate, and that's kind of why I circled back to that debate in the George W. Bush thing, is Trump's 2017 tax cuts. Like, if you want one fucking demon to point to that is really taking money away from everyone but rich people, it's that. Like, we mentioned earlier in the show that there were 60 companies in 2018, 60 American companies that paid zero taxes, Netflix being one of them, which they also operate in LA, just like Ellen. Like, why don't you want your Netflix subscription to help fix homelessness? But
Netflix paid no taxes. Amazing.
Netflix paid no taxes. Right.
Netflix paid no taxes and did not pay their actors a good wage.
Yeah. Yeah. Netflix has really had an impact on like what TV show writers are paid. Like it's like Netflix has done all kinds of foul shit and no one's beaten down their door to go fix Skid Row. You can probably see Skid Row from Netflix.
Yeah, I think that's pretty likely. And also, I have a pretty good job, not a great job, but I'm, like, seeing salaries for a lot of writers for, like, Netflix shit. And, like, I make more now. In the long run, I make more in my safe little office. I get to write as much as I want because I can shut my damn door. I get health benefits. I have a door.
Oh, that's the best.
And it's like, I don't know. Like, where's the benefit of wanting to, like, write for Netflix right now?
Yeah, and I don't say this to throw anyone under the bus or make fun of anyone, but I know several people who've been on television, had steady television gigs, and were also, like, driving Uber. doing freelance work on the side. It's like none of this shit pays anything.
And do not have health care.
Right. It's fucking nuts.
Caitlin Gill has a great album out, and one of the jokes in it is about, like, I finally saw my... It's the exact thing you said, Adam, but it's like, I finally saw the show I worked on a billboard for real, but I couldn't stop because my passenger for Uber really needed to get going.
Yeah.
Like, exactly. That's a thing.
And the thing about those 60 companies that didn't pay any taxes in 2018, that number was 30 in 2017. It literally doubled because of Trump's tax cuts.
Yeah. I feel like that Trump tax cut is really underappreciated as like his only major law. Like it's sort of like Obama was really hamstrung after those first 2 years. And the one big thing was the Affordable Care Act. Like Trump's one big thing is this tax cut for mainly billionaires and corporations.
Yeah.
Like it should be defining him much more than like all the wacky stuff even, you know?
Yeah. And and the
human rights crimes, but you know what I mean?
Right. These tax cuts are fucking nuts. Those same companies that paid no taxes, they did so while earning a combined $79 billion in pre-tax income.
Ah,
that's a lot of fucking money.
But I haven't seen them on TV and heard they bought a watch, so that's okay.
Yeah, true.
A Rolex is not just a watch.
Yeah, it's really not.
Is that's this an ad? Hold on.
Yeah, that's the thing.
That was my favorite comment. It's like, why don't you just get a $5 watch? I'm like, why don't you just get like a paper ring when you get married?
Yeah.
This is a treat.
Why don't you sell your car and buy a skateboard?
Right.
That's another crazy not understanding money perspective to be like, once he bought a Rolex, he could finally tell the time.
You know?
It's like, really? You're just not getting it. No. Oh, it's great.
A lot of those companies actually got tax refunds, including Amazon, got like $129 million back from the government.
That article you found, I expected it to just be they didn't pay taxes, but there were like massive rebates in there. It's crazy.
It was like they used honey on their tax return, and it found the best deals and unapplied promo codes.
Oh, the app. Yeah, right.
Yeah.
I was thinking like honey catching flies for a second, which doesn't make sense. It's gross.
I mean, maybe.
Yeah, sure.
Might work. The cut in the corporate tax rate alone will save corporations $1.35 trillion. Over the next 10 years, according to the Joint Committee on Taxation, revenues for the nation, that's us, homeless people living on Skid Row, things of the like, revenues for the nation from the corporate tax fell 31% in 2018 to $204 billion. So we lost the people, the nation lost billions and billions of dollars in tax money that is now in the hands of corporations that also got tax refunds. So sorry if I'm not mad about Ellen's fucking watch.
Yeah.
Right.
Like how many dudes have fucking watch collections and we don't? Like, I really do think that's a big part of it too. Like, she's a woman and like women aren't allowed to be cool. And like having a fucking Rolex collection's cool. Like,
yeah, sure.
If I had the fucking money, I might do it. Like,
she's a woman. She's a lesbian. Her wife is way hotter than most men's.
Yeah.
We must hate her.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's not that we're saying like this one problem is much, much smaller than this other problem. We're saying like the Ellen thing is with the watch is not a real problem.
No.
Like fundamentally not even a problem.
No.
And this other thing is an actual problem.
Right.
Like the widow of the owner of King World, which distributed like many game shows and produced the Oprah Winfrey Show, she has a wall made out of jade, not a small wall.
Interesting.
A huge fucking wall. She lives up in like the Mount Olympus area, I think. Just a place that
she's a Greek god. My God.
You don't know about Mount Olympus here in LA?
Oh no,
we have one.
Is that like the Elysian Fields thing? Is that?
It's
Dodger Stadium.
No, that's Elysium Stadium. There's like this really rich. It's like if you drive down the 405, it's probably not Mount Olympus. There's like an area where you see separate. The beautiful houses up there.
Oh man,
that's where she lives, like Getty style. And like
wow.
Maybe I'm more like thoughtful of don't worry about Ellen's watch, worry about the incredibly rich because L.A. has so many enclaves of them. Maybe that's why. Like if you don't live here, maybe it's less obvious. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
It's like, I hear all these stories about the super mega rich.
Yeah.
Secondhand from my boyfriend. He's like, I've seen this shit. You don't even want to know.
Yeah.
It goes deep and it's like way more offensive than you can even imagine.
Right.
I'm fun at holidays with his family. And I'm getting nervous because I may be meeting Pat Boone this Thanksgiving. You want to talk about your W. Who's the friendship that you're most unlikely? I'm like, this is the one I want to have happen.
It's going to be your answer next time you're on a Democratic debate.
Pat Boone, the only guy who's only celebrity still living in Beverly Hills.
Always surprised Pat Boone's still alive. Pat Boone and
is bionic.
Former Buffalo Bills quarterback Jim Kelly.
Pat Boone is bionic.
Oh.
Anytime I see either of them, I'm like, really?
He's superhuman.
Oh. Yeah, William Shatner. I'm glad he's around.
William Shatner, yeah.
Yeah, he's like ageless for being old he is.
He defies all logic.
You like, see him, you think like, oh, he looks pretty good for a 50-something-year-old. And no, he's in his, I think, late
80s. Yeah, he's like 108.
Or 90s. Yeah.
Yeah. It's fucking gross.
It's great. It's gross and great.
So this is a quote back to the nation losing 31% of our revenue from the corporate tax. This is a quote from Matthew Gardner from the Institute on Taxation and Economic Policy. This was a more precipitous decline than in any year of normal economic growth in U.S. history. And these are tax cuts that were supposed to pay for themselves.
Right.
Because it's that same fucking trickle-down economics idea where if we just give rich people money, they're going to spend it on giving us all jobs. And that has never, ever, 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 ever been the case.
I'm ordering this book off of Amazon right now. It's just 500 pages of never, ever, ever, ever.
I should put a transcript out.
Yes.
For this. But like that, it's not happening now. It's never happened before.
Yeah, it's not how it works.
And right now, our national deficit is the biggest in history. Trump ran on a promise to eliminate our national debt. Instead, it climbed 41% in the first 4 months of fiscal year 2019 alone.
Hey, does anybody remember when that lying cheater, getting his cock sucked guy, Clinton, was impeached? But we had a balanced budget. Remember that?
Yeah.
It's like, you got to give and take there, Trump.
Also, we're talking about politics, and until you said Clinton, I did not know who you were talking about.
Yeah.
It could have been lots of people.
Could have.
Yeah. It's like, is this about Rod Blagojevich? How do you even know about him?
And it just goes to show you that it's like vice and character doesn't necessarily preclude you from doing something useful and good. It's
right.
Like, fucking buy Balenciaga, go a full collection and then just burn it because it makes you happy. If you have that money and you're helping your community out, yay!
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I agree. Like, I think we're kind of short on words and mental frameworks for understanding how shitty Trump is, because we've had assholes who were also like competent and we've had nice guys who were not competent. And then he's like really combining the two bad parts in a way we don't see a lot.
Yeah, it's kind of impressive.
Yeah.
It's like he is an apt dictator.
Yeah.
Like he's good at it. And like the most frustrating criticism of Trump is this notion that Trump is dumb or Trump doesn't know what he's doing. Like anytime that's probably the, because Alex knows, I've been kind of saying what Trump is going to do for like four years now.
For a while. Yeah.
And I can't tell you how many times I would hit a wall where I'm talking with someone and they're like, oh yeah, but he's too dumb. Like he doesn't have any plans. He doesn't know what he's doing. And I guarantee you someone will hear this and tweet at me or leave a comment and go, yeah, he's too incompetent to know how to do anything. And it's like, well then how come he's doing all these things?
Yeah.
Right.
It's not luck.
He's basically told us I'm going to fuck you over and you're going to still vote for me. And it's true. I there's a really great Trump documentary on the tax-free Netflix where it's like he takes on the subway director of New York in like 1984 and he wins. And this woman's very educated and like it just shows you like how he does it. How he's like a fucking magician, which magicians are not stupid. because you have to make people believe that magic's going to happen, even though magic doesn't exist. Sorry, spoiler. It's just like watching everything. I was like, this is going to be bad. And now that he is president, it's like, oh, fuck, it's so much worse than I ever thought. And it's like, he is not dumb.
What makes Trump's presidency so much worse than I thought it would be is people seeing all this happening and just thinking it's not happening. Like, I assumed he'd get in office and we would all collectively as a country be like, oh, shit, we fucked up. A lot of us are, but a lot of us are like, eh, it's all right. It's not that bad. Like, Twitter is all a flutter with concern and worry, but you get out into the rest of the country, middle America, shit like that, they're like, yeah, I don't love the guy, but I'm also white. So
come to Idaho.
Yeah.
I went there last October for my mom's funeral, and I met him randomly with like a couple of high school friends, and like we were like, you know, one was an Asian gay guy, there was me, and there was my socialist friend, and like we were just quite a collateral. And then like all these white guys in a Ducati come up and like,
hell yeah,
we're going to the Trump rally in Elko, Nevada, you want to come?
And like, is a Ducati like a sports car? Is that a
actually
thing?
It was not a Ducati, it was just like a redneck Ducati.
Okay, I don't know why I'm fixated on
definitely
this.
Not yeah, I wouldn't be fixating, it's like mountain. Your home.
If I was at a Trump rally and a Ducati pulled up, I'd be like, oh,
yeah,
and see that coming.
But like they invited us out and they were like, the broiest bros I ever saw. My hometown during that week, my eyes got opened so much. Like we had a car dealership that had the banner, buy a truck, get a gun.
Nice.
Annual event. They love Trump in my hometown. They love him.
So yeah. You didn't go to the rally, though? Have you been to Elko, Nevada?
I have. It's not great.
It is. It looks like Mars.
Yeah.
It's scary. Looks like the scary. Oh. Looks like the bad
it's
part
of aliens.
Looks like the bad part of Mars.
Yeah.
Oh, the it's bad neighborhood
with
of
aliens. The Motel 8.
When I drove, that's where I stayed. When I drove cross country, when I moved from New York to San Francisco, we drove cross country and we did it like really leisurely. And so it took a couple weeks. And the last place we stopped before driving on to California was Elko, Nevada. Mm-hmm. And I was just like, I was in the passenger seat and I just Googled Elko, Nevada to see like what's the haps in this part of town.
Maybe it'd be like Vegas Junior.
That's kind of what I was hoping. And instead, the first headline I saw was, is a serial killer murdering tourists near Elko, Nevada?
No way.
Yeah.
Yes.
Let's just drive through. Let's just go straight to San Francisco. Probably safer.
Is a serial killer murdering podcast hosts in a like purge hat? Like,
yeah. Yeah, the thing.
Like, well, keep going. Okay, boy.
Yeah, and the thing about Trump and, like, people not, I guess I'm not surprised by this, but the people who should be turning on Trump are the people who voted for Trump.
Yeah.
And I recommend this book all the time. It's called The Authoritarians, and it is basically a roadmap to how a not just a Trump supporter, but anyone who votes or follows that type of leader, like how their mind works. And you can get it on Audible. I think you can get it on the guy's website. I forget his name, the guy who wrote it. But one thing he talks about is people who follow this type of leader, they don't really... There is no right or wrong when it comes to what that person does. Like, it's right if he does it, because that's their authority figure. That's who they're following. And if he's doing it, it's for a good cause. Like, even if he's doing a bad thing in their mind, well, it's ending with him still being president, and him being president is the ideal outcome. So whatever he does, it's like this circular kind of thinking where, well, yeah, it's bad, but it's a good outcome. Because Trump is president, and even though what he's doing is bad, it's good. And it's like there's no getting through to him.
No.
Yeah, it does. It does seem like if and when he loses in 2020, if he does, there could be some kind of lost cause myth around him where it was like, oh, he got backstabbed into losing, and he was always the great president, and like there's going to be a core group of people who never let him go.
Yeah.
Even if he gets two terms, they're like, ah, should have been three. We were screwed.
And all that said, I do kind of resent when people are like the most recent one I saw, there's all these protests happening in Bolivia right now. And someone, or no, I think they were the protests in...
Well, Chile or... no. Anyway.
Spain. Okay. Catalonia?
I don't really know.
Who is it that's trying to break away from Spain?
Oh, probably the Catalans.
Yeah, I think it's Catalan. Yeah. And there were these protests, all these people in the streets. And there was this tweet where someone was like, America, are you taking notes or are you still just tweeting? It's like, bitch, you are the size of Delaware. We are like, call me when all of Europe is in the streets and then you can shame us. We are gigantic. Like, you can't expect those kind of, like, we might be able to get like all of Louisiana out or something like that someday. But getting all the United States out in the streets isn't. It's not realistic. We got to think of something else. We need a group of mercenaries. We need the A-team.
Yes!
To take out Trump.
And just any tweet about being like, I'm smarter than being on Twitter is like exhausting. Like, cut it
out.
But
you're on Twitter.
Yeah, you're tweeting it.
Like,
yeah,
don't burn your account down.
Tweet at us. But yeah, I don't know. Like, it's just, it's really frustrating that, like, getting back to these tax cuts and the whole Ellen thing, like, that was one of the cornerstones of Trump's campaign was I'm going to get rid of the debt. We're going to lower taxes for everybody. And it's the debt is worse. Taxes have gone. Everyone's paying more except rich people. And where are all the people who voted for him who are like, hey, you said you were going to do a thing and you didn't do it.
But he knows what he's doing because he was on The Apprentice and he knows how to fire people. He knows how to get it done.
Right. He's a businessman.
I swear to you, I saw like this report about the most popular reality programs, and this is how I knew Trump was going to win the presidency. And this was like in like probably 2015. It was like, you know, because it's like, you know, like, yeah, Jersey and Jersey Shore and like, oh, 16 and pregnant. Idaho was firmly for The Apprentice, and Idaho has always been a red state. Like, since it became a state, it's like, yeah, we're just voting red. No president ever comes there, visits there to court votes. It's like, yeah, you're going to vote red. Whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
As soon as it's done, I'm like, yep, he's got the Republican vote.
Because the show is popular in Idaho.
Super popular. Again, I don't get it. We're mostly rural, but they love white businessmen telling them what to do.
Yeah.
It's just fucking disconnect.
I'm moving to Idaho. I run a business. I'm going to fucking buy me a Ruby Ridge compound, get a shack, get some guns.
You can get plenty of guns.
Live it up.
And lie about that you ever lived in. No, when you go, you say it's like, I had to get a California. Too weird.
Yeah, I will. Too liberal for me, man. I had to get out.
But we say this in Burbank, and like, this is the weird thing about Burbank. There's so many gun stores and shooting ranges. Like
one right across from a synagogue right around the corner from me.
It's insane.
Yeah, when I moved to Culver City, one of my first celebrity experiences there was reading that Hillary Duff had gone to our gun store, which is like a weird version of a celebrity experience in L.A., but there you go. It happens.
Maybe the purge is coming. Hillary Duff.
Let the rain fall down there.
That's a good song.
It's super. I saw her in concert at a Nickelodeon event where she sang... live.
Oh.
Yeah.
Clay Aiken was there. That's why I was there.
If you're listening at home, Eve is doing no air quotes around singing or other performance concepts.
I like how you added that Clay Aiken was there. Like that's a justification.
I was a Clay.
Oh, okay. That's cool then. Clay Aiken sucks too.
And I had the worst picture taken of me with him. Like my friend's like, take a picture of me, take a picture of us. Aiken. Took a picture of her, looked great. I'm like, take my picture, and I make this face.
Oh, yeah.
And I had to put a yellow sticker over my face going, not suitable for people who are pregnant.
It
will cause miscarriage.
I met Ice-T at the W Hotel, and a friend of mine took a picture of us and fucked it up, and the picture's all blurry and shit, which is just heartbreaking.
That's why don't take pictures with celebrities.
Yeah.
Just don't.
Leave them alone.
I had the most perfect celebrity interaction with Patton Oswalt. It's by UCB. It was early. I walk down the street, boom, there's Patton Oswalt, handful of comic books, and my eyes go like, oh, and I smile at him, and then he smiles back at me, and then he looks down at his feet, walks on, perfect interaction. He knew that I loved him. I didn't have to say a fucking word. He didn't have to say a fucking word. We both went on our day, happy.
Yeah.
The only people I've bothered recently, because LA, you really do see celebrities kind of frequently.
Yeah.
The only people I've bothered for pictures were I met Julia from the Coat Hangers, my favorite band.
Yeah.
But like their shows are always at like clubs, so they're just like out in the crowd before, so that's not hard. But also Glenn Howerton from It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
Oh, cool.
Was backstage at a Portugal the Man show.
Yeah.
And that's like one setting where I'm really not keen on bothering celebrities, because it's like I'm there too and I don't want to like seem like a weirdo, but I was like, fuck that. That's Glenn Howerton. I'm getting a picture with him. And that was before I found out he was an anti-vaxxer and all that crazy shit.
Oh, is he?
Oh,
I think so. Yeah.
Rich people
like that.
Are so anti-vax.
Yeah, they're nuts.
I discovered this thing called homeopathic inoculation. You know what that is?
Oh, no. What is it?
I know it works, right?
It's bullshit. It doesn't work.
I don't know what it is. I just know it's effective.
It's like if you don't want to give your kids the measles, rubella, and the other thing that's in there. I forgot.
Mumps.
Yeah, if you don't want to give them that, take the homeopathic inoculation. It'll almost protect your child.
Right.
It will not.
It's a powerful cocktail of wishes.
Yeah.
That will. Yes. That will cost lots of money.
Yeah.
So, do we have any final thoughts on Trump and rich people and taxes before we get to a listener opinion?
Well, especially like since Trump and Ellen have been maybe the two people coming up most, like people just need to know that like people you haven't heard of are in charge of most stuff. And are often the people to do things. Like, don't expect Ellen to solve homelessness because you've seen her on TV. Don't expect Trump to be a brilliant president because you've seen him in a reality show on TV.
Right.
Like there are also people you haven't heard of that you can find out about who are either the greatest villains or greatest heroes usually.
Yeah.
Like Norman Borlaug.
Yeah, right. He's great.
Also, yeah. Jennifer, I saw that concert too in Vegas.
Oh, Jennifer Fendelander in the comments says she saw Clay Aiken and Kelly Clarkson in concert.
It was a great concert.
Oh, is that like pre The Voice Kelly Clarkson? Like
Yes. This was
idol.
Like 2003, that's legit. 2004.
Yeah, that's like core supporter. Yeah, that's good. Yeah,
as long as her second album was out by then.
Yeah.
Because
if you saw Kelly Clarkson and didn't hear Since You've Been Gone, like.
Oh, actually, it was fun. But I did see her at the Central State Fair singing that song.
Okay. I've never seen Kelly Clarkson live, but I would love to. She's great.
She is a treasure, and I would love to write for her show.
Yeah, anyway. I've never seen it.
So I like that's the my voice, opinion. Though. That's my opinion, I guess, on Rich. I was like, I would love to write for Kelly Clarkson. I don't know. Like I grew up in a trailer court, and my boyfriend grew up in Beverly Hills, and we led very different lives, and every single time he tells me a story about his life, I get very pissed off. Because it's like... He was the voice on The Littles. He was the voice of Charlie Brown for Dolly Madison Cupcakes. I'm like, how did you get these kids? I'm like, my dad got them for me.
Yeah,
my dad is famous. He got it for me. And if you're a famous father, you can get anything. And that's my impersonation.
Must be nice. Yeah, I grew up super fucking poor.
Yeah, and it's like, oh, and like I was again, I'm like, okay, and I wanted to be an actor. I wanted to be a comedian. I'm like, okay, they have local commercials. I need to go audition for these. Mm-hmm. Mom, can we go? I was like, it takes effort.
Effort sucks.
Yeah, I'm like, yeah, I know. I'm ready. Let's go. I'm cute. I'm not getting any cuter. But I know a lot of rich people who are hardworking. I know a lot of richest people in entertainment who are like, you know, they're still getting just by as well. So it's like, if you think people in entertainment are going to be the way that libertarianism somehow rules this country, you are so, so mistaken.
Yeah.
Like, who pays Ellen? They have way more money.
Right. Yeah. Somebody, yeah. Well, even like everyone was mad about, a bunch of rich people bribed colleges to get the rich people's kids into colleges. And our solution has been to like keep focusing on Felicity Huffman.
Yeah.
And she deserves it. And that doesn't solve it. Like that's not fixing anything.
Not long
she's
after
just the one from TV. That's it.
And not long after her prison sentence came down. I saw someone on
CNN. No quote marks on that either.
I saw CNN. Someone on CNN was like, well, this is just proof that wealth and privilege isn't always enough to keep you safe. It's like she went to prison for 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
That is the definition of wealth and privilege keeping you safe.
Yeah, very much
so. And I think she got out in like a week. It's like, that is the definition of wealth and privilege.
She probably was not serving in, like, you know, like, here's where all the child molesters and murderers are.
Although it would have been funny if they just, like, threw her in solitary for a week. Slide food through the fucking slot in the door.
What if she
eat it, you pig?
What if she came out of it yoked? Like, she was just doing chin-ups the whole time.
Tattoos? That would have been
great. Fucking like, cornrows.
Right.
Tattooed tear under her eye.
Like, now she's T2 Linda Hamilton. Like, it just changed her completely. Yeah.
What's the tear under your eye? Killed someone to get my kid into college. You never learn!
And also, you know what? I don't mind it. It's like they're just throwing their money away so their kids can, like, play them out of college. I'm like, and you know what? The college gets, you know, probably a little bit better.
The only concern there is if it's taking, like, scholarships away from kids. True. I don't like that.
Yeah. True. I think it's kind of collapsing society. I don't like it. Yeah.
Yeah. So let's get to a listener opinion. But first, I forgot to do this at the beginning of the show. Shout out to our $50 subscribers, Ann Bankson, Rebecca Stewart, Kaisel Borski, and newcomer Jesus Cisneros Macias.
Oh, hell yeah.
And since I normally do that at the beginning, I normally do this part right now, which I'll do now. Our $25 subscribers, buckle up. T. Cookson, Ryan Borey, Eddie Barron, 5X Espinoza, Chaz Chitwood, Mike Ski, Homerostasis, the ghost of Dave Thomas, Nolan McLean, Shelley, DJ West, Katie Rimmer, Reby, Kelly Stanaway, Teresa H., whatever that means, James Hill, whatever that means, Carson Tuttle, Danny W., AJ Lindberg, and Jennifer Fendelander. Thank you all for your support.
Hey, Jennifer.
Hell yeah.
Every one of you gives us more money than most people.
That's right.
Yeah, and Jennifer just correctly commented that also Lori Loughlin got attention for the admissions thing. It's true. It is the two of them, and then dozens of other parents. You've never even heard of them, you know?
Yeah, meanwhile, there's like an Instagram video of Dr. Dre being like, bought my daughter's way into USC. And we're like, oh, it's fine. I guess that's okay.
But her husband basically supplies Target with most of its clothes.
Yeah.
So,
that's true.
I mean, it's like, you guys have more money than fucking God. Why don't you just create your own university?
Yeah. And someone the other day also was like, why isn't William H. Macy getting any shit for all the stuff Felicity Huffman's getting?
And he's with his kid Donnie, and he has lots of love to give.
Well, it's because he's on Shameless, and that show's fucking great.
Yeah.
You're going to send William H. Macy to prison and fuck up Shameless? Get the fuck out of here.
Yeah, we need
crazy.
Him more than ever with Emmy Rossum moving on.
Oh, I cried. I cried when she left. It's my favorite show.
Yeah.
So let's get to this listener opinion. It's kind of in line with what we were just talking about. Hello, Unpops crew. This is partly in response to the Bernie opinion in the Listener Appreciation Week episode that recently released. I'm not as concerned about Bernie's age, but that is a factor. The more important issue, however, is how the Sanders and Warren campaigns will split the progressive vote. A lot of people are growing more concerned about the fact that Biden is somehow still leading polls for the primary. I think that the progressive side of the party is larger than the moderate side. So if Sanders were to drop out, then Warren would take her rightful place at the top of the polls. Another good strategy would be for Warren to drop out and be Sanders' running mate. But either way, they don't need to compete against each other. Best wishes, Jacob. Should Bernie Sanders drop out of the race?
That's a good question.
It seems a little early.
I mean, as far as I can tell, like, Biden and Warren and Sanders are a step ahead of everybody else. Mm-hmm. And so it's more incumbent on everybody else to drop out. Like, especially the super fringy psycho people, but also like Amy Klobuchar, who is horrible to her staff and should have dropped out long ago, can leave, you know, done. Like her first and then the front runners later.
Yeah, find you someone who loves you the way Amy Klobuchar hates Elizabeth Warren. Watch that last debate when Amy Klobuchar talks about Elizabeth Warren accusing her of using right-wing talking points, and Elizabeth Warren responds, the camera stays on Amy Klobuchar the whole time, and she's just like,
oh, yeah, yeah.
Just fucking fuming the entire time.
Give that cameraman a raise.
Yeah.
Ellen.
Great.
Yeah. She took those feelings out on an entire staff afterward, I'm sure.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think maybe the concern here is if Sanders and Warren both get to the primary, maybe like there's concern that be. Like they could cancel each other out and Biden would win the primary. Maybe.
Yeah, I understand that.
Yeah.
I also think it's just hard to, like, tell any one candidate to be the chess piece that moves, that fixes all this. Mainly because they aren't listening to us, but also because, like, anybody running for president is, like, dementedly fixed on being the president. So
yeah.
It's just hard to, like, ask them to do that, you know?
Yeah. Is Bernie too old?
Also, like, it's fair to ask if anybody's too old and if their age matters, and also people kind of age differently. And I know nothing, but what I've seen of, like, Bernie, he seems like he can hack it, and Biden maybe not, and Trump already can't. You know, like, it varies between people. Yeah. Despite age similarity.
I'm worried about Trump's posture. He leans too forward in.
Yeah.
Like, he feels like he's going to, I mean, I know he's a smart man. I'm not saying he's dumb. I'm just saying he has poor posture.
Yeah.
When
he stands, he looks like one of those boxing dummies that's, like, a little bit forward. It doesn't make sense.
Little off balance. And, like, you know, that can cause real serious back problems, and that can lead to drug issues, because I have a chronic pain condition right now.
Oh,
took some hydrocodone for that. Does fucking shit all.
Oh.
And it's only 85 cents with my copay.
Oh, the last part is good, right?
No.
Okay, never mind.
It's like, why is this so cheap? And then, like, I get drugs for my diabetes that I also take care of, and it's like $15. And, like, the muscle relaxers, which actually do shit, are $94 because they're not approved by my insurance. Mm. And I'm pretty sure Trump can get the good shit. He probably just has injectables.
Yeah.
I have no reason for starting off on this tangent.
Well, look, whatever happens with this election, let's not fix that situation, okay? Let's keep the medical system exactly like it is.
Oh, 100%.
With no improvements or upgrades or nothing.
It's going great
for everybody.
Charity will take care of it. Speaking of that, I have some CBD topical pain relief samples out in the living room. Brought to you by Elixicure, new sponsor for unpops.com.
Well, Elixicure.
You can actually go to Elixicure and use code UNPOPS at checout to save 20%.
No.
We make a little money also. And it's like a CBD product that's available in all 50 states. It's like Icy Hot, but instead of whatever the fuck is in Icy Hot, it's got CBD in it. And if you buy it, they give us money. Christmas is coming up. Buy someone you know who's in pain CBD pain relief. Elixicure.com.
I am really glad you brought this up. And quickly, before you wrap anything up or whatever, like, things like Patreon and, like, sponsorship, because, like, all of us have done comedy in some form and not gotten paid for it. In fact, have probably spent more money doing it than we've ever gotten paid back. Like, it's a very expensive, luxurious hobby.
Yeah.
And, like, things like Patreon and things like getting ad sponsorship for stuff, people contributing and supporting things that they like is absolutely the greatest thing you can do at a local level for local comedians.
Yeah.
And because, like, I know I've read your columns for, like, years on Cracked.
Oh, thanks.
I know. And I think I've read yours. I don't remember, Alex. I'm sorry.
No, I don't do it. I don't do a ton of text there.
Yeah.
So you probably haven't seen it.
Very good.
Yeah.
But, like, it's just really cool to me to see, like, Adam, like, you know, you're hanging in there and you're doing something.
Yeah, I mean, I'm lucky that the following that I had at Cracked, some of them followed me to all the other stuff I'm doing. Very supportive. We fight in the comments sometimes, but that's what people who love each other do. We just sometimes argue, you know. Yeah, I'm really lucky, and any money is good.
And how many Rolexes do you have?
I have 8 Rolexes now that have all been purchased with proceeds from Patreon. Oh. Yeah.
Yeah, we all did that buy 7, get 1 free, right?
Yeah. Yeah,
okay,
yeah,
cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, cool, cool.
Yeah, I use $6 Rolexes. If you buy 10, they're only $5 each. So I just stock up every 18 months or so. Yeah. But yeah. I mean, if you do want to try CBD stuff for your pain, do go to Elixicure and use code UNPOPS. You save 20%, cheaper than if you bought it in the stores.
Mm-hmm.
And we make a little money, too. I don't know. I don't know if there's anything else to say about Bernie dropping out. Like,
yeah,
I don't think he should. I don't. At least not right now.
There is a good thing going on where the party, it seems like they set up with the debate system. There's, like, a really gradual but still very concrete thing where, like, each debate raises the standards of polling and donations for being in it. Like, because all these people are nuts. None of them are going to drop out willingly. And so you have to have stuff like that where you just kind of, like, drift them off to the side when they are still getting 1% of the vote now, you know?
Yeah.
Like, that's positive. I think... we need a lot more rounds of that first, and then we can talk to front runners about like what's right to do.
You know? Yeah, you're right. Amy Klobuchar can go.
Yeah,
Julian Castro can probably kick rocks.
Because if like four of those people drop out, that's like what 7% of the vote is now freed up. Like, I'm legitimately curious who they'll pick instead. That might actually matter.
Tulsi Gabbard. She can always go hate Muslims in India. Like, she doesn't have to do it here as our president.
I have only heard crazy things about her.
Tulsi Gabbard is a fucking problem. And I don't care. Like, I know people are upset that Hillary Clinton was like, maybe she's a Russian asset. Here's the thing. Maybe she is. Even if she's not, she's a big, big problem. Tulsi Gabbard is how we end up, like, I say this all the fucking time. She is how we end up like Australia, where if you want to vote for the pro-immigration candidate in Australia, you can't. You can vote for the very anti-immigration candidate or the just sort of anti-immigration candidate. And if we were to elect Tulsi Gabbard, that's how we get to that point in this country. She will be that Democrat who, once she's in office, will be like, okay, we don't need them all here, right? Like, we can build some wall. We can all agree on that. Like, she's a fucking problem.
Yeah.
Like, she gets a lot of her support from the BJP party, which is the ruling party of India.
It's
the
like
world's
Modi's India party?
Yeah. Oh, boy. It's Narendra Modi's party. And Narendra Modi is a Hindu nationalist.
Right.
Like, people are getting murdered in India for, like, fake news about eating beef and, like, just all this anti-Muslim shit that is skyrocketing in India. And that is the party that gives Tulsi Gabbard all her support. So, even if you don't think she's a Russian asset, if you think she's a good presidential candidate, it's probably because you're not comfortable supporting Trump anymore, but you still want to hate Muslims.
Wow. Yeah, or it's just some kind of misguided outsider thing you're trying to do.
I mean,
don't do that. Like, she's an outsider because she's apparently crazy.
She's
or at least very in the wrong, insane. You know what I mean? It's not good.
And here's the thing. I know it's 2019, and this isn't what we judge people on, but she is very attractive in a, like, supervillain way. That gray, that streak of gray hair. Like,
that is a very Marvel Comics hair.
Every debate, I expect Tulsi Gabbard to just, like, levitate and for lasers to come out of her eyes and just, like, well, we done it now. We got... Let a fucking Avenger run for president.
Well, it's like maybe that's the one thing that can take Lex Luthor down.
Yeah. Either that or the Avengers show up and we're like, shit, they hate immigrants too.
That was the only reason why I was really rooting for Marianne Williamson. It's like, maybe the only thing that can take Trump down is just like this fucking weirdo.
Yeah. I would have been like, fine. Fine. We deserve it. If Marianne Williamson won... You shouldn't have elected Trump, motherfuckers.
That's right.
We're probably going to elect like a Toyota Camry next. Like, there's nowhere else to go after electing Trump. We got to elect Marianne Williamson just to return things to kind of normal.
Yeah, because it feels weird. Like, if either one of the top front runner Democrats, you know, Biden, Bernie, and Elizabeth Warren, if either of them win and they get in their office, we're gonna have a readjustment period. It's like, where's the craziness? Where's the big scandal? Because they're going to have scandals and stuff, sure, but like they're not going to be like, what, he did what?
Yeah.
It's like there's no porn star.
That's how we get the purge. We'll have all this pent up aggression, and then Trump's out of office, and it's like, where do we put it? Purge time. And who do we murder? People who listen to music on their cell phone without headphones.
Agreed.
12 hours, anyone listening to their cell phone in public. Like watching a video.
Like loudly,
loudly with the speakers on around other people. Purge them.
Yeah, that phenomenon, I'm like, I'm less mad and I'm more astonished. I'm like, wow, you really just feel this is okay. Like, I'm more just amazed, you know? Like, because it's so out there as a thing that would be acceptable, but it's not.
Well, you can probably find their car in the parking lot taking up two spaces. Probably handicapped.
Oh, yeah.
With a boot on it.
Yeah, they're like eating somebody else's food off a table or something. Like all kinds of crazy stuff, I'm sure. Yeah.
I saw a car. We'll get out of here. I know we're sort of rambling, but I saw a car a couple weeks ago across the street from the 7-Eleven near me, and it had a boot on it. And then the next day, that car was in the parking lot of the 7-Eleven still with a boot on it. It's like, did you carry it over there? Like, what the fuck?
How did it moved locations.
Yeah. It had a boot, and it was across the street. The next day, still a boot. But in a parking spot at 7-Eleven.
Why? If it's a detachable, but like they figured out how to jimmy it off. But they know their car is going to get towed if it's not on there. So they just put it on there after they park. It's kind of like, you know, like when you like you get a parking ticket or something and you're like, I got a couple more errands. I'm going to leave that on there so they won't get another one.
That could be.
If I take it off, they're going to put another one right on there.
Mm, that's true.
That never works, by the way.
Probably not. Probably not. Should we get out of here? It's been a good episode. It's long.
Yeah, I'm feeling good.
Been going for a while.
I feel like I've learned a lot. This feels good.
Yeah, this has been a fun episode. Just fucking, you got bigger fish to fry than Ellen DeGeneres, America. That's I want that to be the main takeaway here. She's not your demon.
Yeah, broadly gain perspective on what the fishes are.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, figure it out.
Figure it out,
what
America.
What funds the fishes? Literally. Literally. She's Dory.
Oh, right. Right. Don't fry Dory. It's fry a different.
It's like, what's the Walt Disney Company doing, huh? Building more theme parks? Owning all of our money with Star Wars and The Simpsons on their live streaming? Like, fuck.
Yeah. I'm going to have to get Disney Plus, though, to see Mandalorian.
That Simpsons thing is really tempting, yeah.
Yeah.
It's Werner Herzog in space. I mean, this is what society's been
fucking seeing
to.
The Mandalorian one way or another. I'll steal it or I'll pay for Disney Plus, but I'm going to see that fucking show. It looks great. All right. This has been a good episode. What do we have to plug before we get out of here? Patreon.com/unpops. As always, we do two bonus episodes every week. And in addition to that, you get bonus episodes of Pretty Scary, Conspiracy the Show. We do new episodes of Listcast only on Patreon. We have a show called Unpops Every Day that comes out twice a month that you can get only on Patreon. So check all that out. And I'm going to be on tour next year. So be on the lookout for dates for that soon. Bolo.
Ty?
That means be on the lookout.
Oh.
Yeah. I like already having good 2020 news. That's very exciting.
Yeah. I'm looking
forward
to it.
I don't mean the election, just the year. You know, it's great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, the year is going to be terrible. But
oh, absolutely.
I'll probably do some fun stuff. Alex, what do you got to plug?
Please listen to the Cracked podcast if you can. And, of course, support this. And I wrote a new piece for the New Yorker's website that I feel good about. Comedy piece.
Very nice.
Yeah. So you can just Google my name and them and find it.
Just Google him, please. Yeah. Okay? He doesn't have all day to tell you everything he's up to.
That's Air Alex Schmidt.
Air Schmidt. Change the name legally. Eve, what do you got to plug?
Well, I am part of Night Church. We're the only horror cult comedy sketch team in LA.
It's cool team.
I don't know if that's true, but I'm saying it, so it must be true.
I'm sure it publicly. Is.
We're the fourth Sunday every month at the PAC, but you can also look for Hail Night Church on social media and see our videos. We did one for Halloween that I did, which was The Great Pumpkin's Coming, Charlie Brown. And guess what? The pumpkin made a man come all over inside of his pumpkin head. It's going to be worth it.
Hell yeah.
Also, I can be on the lookout for going to be doing live streaming dolls for my house. So look me up on Eve Esquire.
Excuse me?
Yeah, I do a live streaming doll talk show and a live streaming doll improv show, which is weird and strange. Which
can you leave, please?
We've only summoned Satan once, Adam. Be on the lookout for that. And please, please, please treat yourself to YouTube. Google Stan Freeberg Federal Budget Review and just be amazed that somebody greenlight that.
Treat yourself.
Treat yourself.
All right, let's get out of here. Alex, say goodbye.
Goodbye.
Eve, say goodbye.
Toodaloo.
Goodbye, everybody. We love you. Bristol Street, bring a blood object to Bristol Street. I'm coming.